If you're our guest today, it's good to have you with us. Happy Father's Day. Who's ever been to Riverwalk in Louisiana? Anyone been on the river there? You were there. You're not there in 1996 when that wheat hauler barge crashed into it, were you? No. Y'all remember that in 1996? It was 736 foot, the Bright Field, Grand Canyon. I guess you call them barge, don't you? Not really a barge, but a ship that's loads crashed into the Riverwalk and made a pretty good dent. Didn't kill anybody. 66 people were injured. Did $15 million to the side of the Riverwalk there where all the shops were. And it cost $2 million to fix the ship. But nobody was killed. And the Coast Guard investigated it to try to find out what the problem was, and the problem was it lost its power and couldn't navigate, and so it slammed into the side. And the reason it lost its power was they hadn't changed the oil filter, and it clogged up, and the sensor shut it off, and so it rammed into the, what do you call the side of the thing there, Riverwalk? Simply because they didn't do maintenance. How about that? $66 million plus $2 million, $68 million worth. What would oil filter cost? $50? I'm just guessing. $100? $200 at the max. I don't know what kind of motors or anything. Just say $500 oil filter and oil change. Instead, they cost $68 million, and people hurt. Why? Carelessness, sorriness. I don't know. Just not paying attention. If you remember, if you were here on Mother's Day, we didn't just address mothers, and we're not going to just address fathers. We address parents, and we're going to continue that second part of that today as we look at some scripture concerning responsibility of parents, and that is parenting God's way. That's what we're going to look at this morning. God's design is that every human relationship, whether it's husband and wife, children and parents, siblings, people you work with, doesn't really matter. They're all based on what is learned through obedience in children. If your children don't learn some basic obedience principles, then every relationship they have will be affected by it. And if you have any children that are very old, well, you don't have to have them very old. At least by 10, you know this, if you don't know it by 5. It's true. If children learn respect and submission in the family, wow, y'all know what that word means? There used to be a song about it, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, right? Who did that? Aretha Franklin. Some of you young ones are saying, what? What did he say? It was about respect, and what that means is that you value other people's stuff and you value other people. So you don't abuse their space by talking so loud on your cell phone when you go in public places. You know what that means? You take all that stuff out of your ear when you go in somewhere. Matter of fact, you just don't talk to anybody, especially while you're waiting in line to get waited on. Don't you hate that? People in front of you, the cashier's asking a question, and they can't talk to them because they're talking on their cell phone. That's the downside of those things. So whenever you're in public speaking real, real loud on your phone, you're disrespecting everybody else. And I know you say, well, that's not disrespect. Yes, it is. It means you value your own desires more than you value someone else's privacy. So, and that can come from you walk into this building and something you see that's not yours, you respect that it's not yours, so you don't mess with it. Don't care how much you want it or how you like it. When you respect other people's stuff, you don't take anything that's not yours. Everybody understand that? In case you never heard the word respect, that's kind of what that means. You know, you think enough of somebody else's, just like if you have any respect for yourself, you don't really want somebody else to take your stuff, do you? Or, I don't know, maybe you don't care. And submission in the family, if you learn these things, then it will allow you to get along with your brothers and sisters, with your mom and dad, with the people you go to school with, where you go to work, if you ever go to work. And it affects everything. You know, it's just like ABCs. You know, you can't learn to put words together without ABCs. You can't put phrases together without ABCs, sentences, paragraphs. You have to start with the ABCs. We call that the what? Basics. Yeah, it's a basic. So if you ever intend for relationships to be right, parents, we have to do this for our children. And that's exactly what it says. If we continue to raise a generation of undisciplined children who do not know what it is to respect authority, and I'm talking about not just their mom and dad, but listen, if they don't respect mom and dad, they're not going to respect the teacher, they're not going to respect the policeman, they're not going to respect anybody. If they're disrespectful to mom and dad, nobody else counts. That's why God said you need to teach them how important it is if they honor their mother and father. That's a basic. So if they can't do that, if they can't respect authority, then not only will we damage their rest of their relationships through the rest of their life, but we will make sure that the world gets more chaotic and more chaotic and more chaotic. Is it bad now? My heavens. You know, the guys who killed the police officers and escaped, what is that? Disrespect for everything. Perfect picture of it. They don't care. All they want is what they want, right? So that's disrespect. When you think the only person in the world that is important is you, it means you disrespect everybody else to get your way. So if you have any if you don't have any clear understanding of what respect means, that's what that means, all right? Here's the question, parents. Do we really care about our children's future? Oh, I love my children, and I want to take care of them. Do you really care? You know, a lot of times we say a lot of things with our mouths, but we don't really mean those things because we don't ever do them. But if we really, really care about our children, not only now, but their future, are we willing to help take care of that? And I don't mean finance them, all right? The fifth commandment, you know, Exodus chapter 20, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the first four God gave that would affect a vertical relationship between God and man. Then in chapter, and then in the fifth commandment, verse 20, chapter 20, verse 12, he goes horizontal. He says, first you got to understand who God is and how to get along with him. Then you can understand how to get along with people. So the fifth commandment is the only one of the ten that has a guarantee promise with it. Now, all the other things, God made a statement. This is the way it is, this one. And he comes to this one, he says, if you will do this one, I promise I will do this. What does that mean? This one's important. Does it mean the other ones were not important? No, it doesn't. But what it says is this. We can help fulfill that the promise for our children whom we say we love and we want their future to be good, that if we want to help fulfill that promise, if we teach them to respect and honor God and therefore their parents, then we are helping fulfill the promise that God will bless them. That's it. That's it. Simple. Is that pretty simple? That's real simple. Here's the verse. Honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the land. And when you look at the context and the words on that, it's not just that you'll live a long life. It is what? In the land which the Lord will give you, there's prosperity that comes with it. Not only will you live long, you'll have a much better life in general if you will honor your mother and father. Wow. That's respect. That's submission, all those things. So, parents, our responsibility is, if we would like to see that promise fulfilled, our responsibility is we have to teach them that. Because guess what? They're not born knowing that. You know, only thing they're born with is, this is mine and I want it, right? Isn't that what they start saying? Me, mine? That's how it comes out, as we're going to see, depravity. Martin Luther, the great Reformation leader, this is what he said. He said, I'm much afraid that the universities, and he was a teacher at the University of Wittenberg, a brilliant man. He says, I'm afraid that the universities will prove to be the great gates to hell. Wow, was he speaking 500 years ahead of his time? What are the universities right now? All they teach you is, I shouldn't say all of them, but the majority of secular universities say, you know, we're going to create a safe room for you because if you don't agree with him, you don't have to listen to him. So not only are you disrespecting someone else's idea, you're saying, I'm more important and my idea is more important than anybody else. So we see that fleshing out. The very thing that he said, this is what's going to happen if the university is not careful. It provides the great gates to hell because when you look at the stats, how many people go into a university system not really, really grounded and they come out atheist? Why? Because they buy into all this garbage that's filled out there that nobody can prove, and that's exactly what happens. I mean, how many do we know already? That's exactly what happens to them. What? unless they diligently labor to explain the Holy Scriptures and to engrave them upon the hearts of the youth. Wow. Harvard, Yale, did you know those were all preacher schools? They were started by preachers to teach preachers, and now where are they? Pretty much pagan. Pretty much pagan. You might find a little element of theological stuff there, but it'd be so liberal you would have to throw it away. And he said, that's exactly what it is. He says, unless they're careful, what are they going to do? Boy, they're going to ruin them. And man, can we see the evidence now? Why? Because it's, you know, why is that? What does it mean when somebody who is a professional goes to a school and they protest it and burn the buildings down? What is that? If that's not disrespect. Why? That building doesn't belong to them. So they just take ownership. Well, my view is better than anybody else's. That's the ultimate disrespect. So, I mean, that's exactly what we see. He said, I meant to change that, I advise, not I advise. No one to place his child where the Scriptures do not reign paramount. You're going to search hard to find one of those these days, especially in a secular society. He said, every institution where men are not unceasingly occupied with the Word of God, they will become corrupt. Not must and mean they have to. Actually, the word means this is exactly what will happen. And that's exactly where we are. It's amazing what, like I said, some of those theological schools that were started hundreds of years ago, where they are now. Exactly what he prophesied. Now, so if we really care about our kids' future and we want to help them, how do we do that? You first understand that he's a little ingrate. She's born, he's born as a depraved soul. You say, what does that mean? We're going to show you. Our children are not innocent when they come into the world. That's what that means. It means what? You don't have to teach them how to lie. How many of you have taught diligently? You started teaching your children when they started walking around. You started teaching them how to lie. Anybody? Anybody that psycho? No. So where did they get it from? Well, he got it from school. He got it before he went to school. Why? It's in there in him. It's called a depraved nature. We're born with something wrong with us on the inside. It's called sin. And that's exactly what that is. When they come into the world, they're not these nice little cuties that can never do anything wrong. No, 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 no. That's not what they are. No. Except in the sense that they are naive and they just haven't experienced it yet. But it's down there in there. I remember on a couple occasions, one of them was The Mask with Jim Carrey, if you saw that movie, where he found this mask and he fooling around with it, he found if he put it on, it changed him. But what it did was it really brought to life, animated form, what was on the inside of him. Because he was a hopeless romantic that loved cartoons. And guess what? When he put on that mask, that's exactly what it brought out, the full life in him. But guess, if you saw it, you remember what happened when one of the really evil guys got it? When he put it on, he became this huge monster. Why? Because whatever's in the well comes up in the bucket. Whatever is down in there, unless it is taken care of, when it finds the opportunity, it'll come out. That's all that means. Every one of us have it, and we have to understand that our children have it from the very, very beginning. And if we really want to take care of their future and try to help that promise be fulfilled, we have to understand that. They have it. Absolutely. All the potential for sin of every kind is already present in every one of those little hearts, ours included. It's there. And unless we train them that it is there and how you deal with that, then whenever, as they grow up and find a place to express that, they will. It's just going to happen. Both manners and discipline are necessary. Manners. Guys, can I just be honest with you? And girls, too, I understand now it's a thing. It's okay where everybody just goes around burping out loud. That's disgusting. That's one of the first things we learn. You know, you don't talk back to your parents. You don't talk while your parents are talking. And all this burping out loud. You know, as Jerry Clare would say, you get slapped away from the table for something like that. And y'all think it's funny? Is that what that is? Is that a fad? Lord, I hope that one, the air goes out of that one. Manners. How to treat people. But guess what? Even when you teach them manners, and absolutely as necessary, that doesn't change their inside. They can be good when everybody's looking, but that bad seed is still down in there, and we have to train them that it is there, and what's going to happen if they don't do something about it. And if we really care about the future, then that's exactly what we do. But teaching our kids manners is not the solution to the problem. You know, the big deal still is for, you know, if they just had a better self-esteem, you know, they were suppressed when they were a kid, so we're going to teach them great self-esteem and, you know, they'll be all right. That ain't how you fix that. Here's what happens there. Much of the modern effort to spark kids' self-esteem is simply just pouring gasoline on the fire. Now you're teaching him, oh, he has his safe space he can have, and it doesn't matter what, to get his idea out there, he can block the road and he can burn up somebody's car. So what you've done is trying to take that self-esteem, and you've just blown it out of way out of proportion. So you have to be careful, because none of that fixes the problem, because the problem is on the inside. It's not something on the outside. Do we need to teach him manners? Absolutely we do. You know, manners like, you don't walk up to two adults that are talking and just start talking. Hello? Is that right, parents? Do they know that? How long does it take to learn that? 15 years? I don't know yet. Constantly. You talking to somebody, you walk up, blah, 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 whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. And you have to embarrass them in front of people to help them see. You can't do that, even though you've already told them how many times in private. When two adults are talking, you wait till they're done, unless it's somebody, and then you just go on somewhere else because they ain't going to ever quit. So don't interrupt them. Just go on somewhere else. It encouraged selfishness, thinking that they're justified in wanting their own way. Well, that's my right. You don't have any real rights, especially when it's disrespectful to someone else, right? I learned this past week there's something called, I forgot what it is, a green dot or green spot? What was it? Green dot. Y'all know anything about that? In the military? Where, you know, I can't say negative things to you because that hurts the environment, so I have to go get training to tell you not to hurt somebody's feelings. Isn't that right? Is that right? Is that the way it's supposed to go? So it helps us get along. So even though you're a moron, I can't tell you you're a moron. You know, that kind of stuff. And so if we don't do that, they think it's all right for them to be disrespectful. Why? Because it's just their nature. It's just there. When they thrive is when we love them enough to teach them to have responsibility. And several adult people that we have been friends with a long, long time, they have told us that they feel like, looking back, that as 20-year-olds, their parents didn't love them because they let them go and do whatever they wanted to do. Didn't care when he came home, didn't care where he went, didn't care what he went with. And now reflecting back as a grown adult with their own children, they said, they didn't really love me, or they'd have taken more responsibility to know about what I was doing in my life. And that's a mistake sometimes you make. And you go back and you try to correct it. But if we're going to try to help that future, we've got to help them in that, and that's part of it. Look at this one. The heart, my heart, your heart, and heart here is not just the blood pumper. It is all of who you are on the inside. It's your character. It's your who you really are, okay? It says the heart is what? Is deceitful above all things. There's nothing more deceiving than our heart. You don't even know it. It says it's beyond that's why we need some people in God's Word to remind us and say, wait a minute, you don't even understand what you're doing yourself. Why? Because we deceive ourselves. Both manners and discipline are necessary aspects of proper parenting, but just teaching them these things doesn't correct the human depravity. It doesn't check. You know why? Even though when you teach them to be nice and do the right things, if that's unchecked on the inside, whenever the opportunity rises, they're going to still do wicked. You say, well, they might do wicked anyway. Right. But we got to train them that they don't have to, that can be overcome. If only there were evil, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the Russian writer who served a lot of time because he spoke out against the Russian government. This is what he said. He says, if only there were evil people somewhere insidiously committing evil deeds, and if it were necessary only to separate, you know, they're the bad ones, let's put them over there, and we'll put us over there, then we could just destroy them and everybody be okay. But look what he says. But the line dividing this good and evil cuts through the very heart of every human being. What does that mean? I have it too. So who is willing to destroy a piece of my own heart to fix this? So we justify our sin, Peter says. There's only one remedy for depravity. What are you saying? You have to start here if you're going to try to help them with the future. Now, all these other things are good, manners and when to speak and when not to speak. But you have to start that he's a fallen, she's a fallen creature, there's a problem on the inside, and all of the, what you call those schools people send them to, starts with a C. What? Connoisseur? No, what is it? What is it? Something like that. What is it? Mono something? Say it again. Montessori? Is that it? Yeah. Where you teach them all how to, they're still evil on the inside. It doesn't fix that. And that's exactly what it means. Albert Einstein said this, in relation to man's nature and the rest of the world, he said the true problem lies in the hearts and the thoughts of men. It is not a physical thing, but an ethical thing. Wow. And he was not even a believer. And he understood that. What terrifies us is not the explosive force of the atomic bomb, but the power of the wickedness of the human heart. Just like that guy. Those guys this past week. And just cold-blooded murder doing what they did. Why? Just because that's who they are. Wicked. Till finally somebody who had a gun shut them down, right? Another reason to have a gun. I'm for having guns. I'm for having two guns. I wish kind of we could still wear them both on our holster right here on the side. Wouldn't it have been fun to live in the West? What does that mean? What did they say about that? That not every man was created equal, but Colt made him equal when he built the 45? Isn't that what they said? Many parents think of parenting as hopelessly complex. Why? They are ignoring their child's greatest need and focusing their energies instead on stoking the child's self-image. Well, we want them to feel good about themselves. But does he understand what his nature is on the inside? Managing the child's external behavior, protecting them from outside influences, or some other approach that deals with the symptoms and not the real issue on the inside. All of these approaches only make it worse. They don't help it any. They just kind of cover it up. Now, because he's depraved and we really love him and care about him, what do? We must teach them major lessons of life. We must teach them. Why? They're not born with it. Used to get some of it in school. Most of the time you don't get any of that now, not in a public system. There was stuff they used to teach us in public system that, ACLU would close the school now if you did that kind of stuff. Just basic stuff, but it's not there anymore. They must be taught to fear God. What does that mean? It doesn't mean be afraid of him, that you're afraid he's going to zap you. You have to understand that aspect of it. But look at this, the fear of the Lord, understanding that God is who he is, that we are who we are, and what the problem is between the two and how to fix it. When you look at all the ramifications of that one sentence, he says, this is where you start. You teach him who God is and what all that involves. The first is reverence. That he is God and that he is holy, and this is the way, you know, he's separate from us in the sense that he's not just like us, and this is what he demands. But the second part is this, that whenever we do something that are, especially that our mom and dads don't like, not only are mom and dad disappointed, but God is. And if it goes far enough, I don't know, you may have liberal parents that never chastise you, but God will. And they have to understand that. If they break all those laws, just the natural laws God created, if you break them, you're going to suffer. You know, it's the same way. Even if a person is a non-believer, if they learn to honor their mother and father, they automatically get a blessing from God, even if they're an atheist. You say, what? Exactly. It's a natural thing God set up. He says, if you do this, this is exactly what will happen. And if you don't do this, you know, because of who God is, he has the right, and he will. The consequences will come. Just because God don't zap us the same day we sin, we think it's all right. It's not all right. You know, you think the justice system is corrupt now. It is corrupt, but God is not. He's gonna on the final day when all the tickets are coughed up, everything's going to be there. Why? Because there's consequences. We must teach our children when they do wrong. It not only displeases mom and dad, but God. Not only the fear of God, we must teach them to guard their minds. It would be a revelation to know how much junk just the people in this room let in their mind in one day over the cell phone. It's just, if you got a flat tire, it's okay, but there's a lot of ways it's just ungodly. Why? And unless you parents monitor that phone, It's crazy. Isn't it amazing? You can't talk about Jesus in the public square, but the stuff that can be on there, there's no guide to it. So we've got to teach them how they guard that. Why? Because they don't naturally know that. Look at this one. Keep your heart, what is your heart, everything about you that controls you, everything that causes you to do what you do, keep your heart with all diligence. What does that mean? You need to work at it. It's not just going to happen. With everything you have, for out of this thing, everything you do in life is a result of it. What my heart is about will control everything about I do in the rest of my life. What I look at, where I go, who I be around, what I listen to, everything. So if we're not careful, parents, we don't teach them how they need to guard it. So when they get away from everything and they're not taught how to do it, why are we surprised? When you say, well, I never knew. Why? Because you didn't teach them how to watch out for it. We teach them how to do everything else, teach them how to play ball and how to do gymnastics and do all this other stuff. And how much do we spend teaching them this kind of stuff? You know, how do you look at this thing and say, man, that is not right? Doesn't matter if the rest of the world is doing it. For as he thinks in his heart, so he will be. Whatever is controlling your heart is going to come out in your life. That's what that means. We must train our young people to be wise and discerning. Why? Because when they're born, they don't have any, right? Unless they're abnormal in some way, most children like something sweet. Would you agree with that? Hello? Is that right? I know some people don't like sugar, but unless something's going on in your system, most of us like sugar. So once they get a taste of it, if you gave him, say, okay, I'm going to just let you do whatever you want to do, how much sugar would he eat in a day? A lot. Is that good? No. He don't know. You know, most of them, a lot of people don't know at 16. They don't know at 25. Why? Because we haven't taught them. When they get 16, they should know a lot of this stuff that we're talking about so they can make a good rational decision. So when they're 18 and they go out there in the rest of the world, they don't just go completely mad because what? Because they don't have any reasoning. They don't have to filter things through the system. They just take it all and say, oh, yeah, and they don't weigh through it. And we have to teach them that. They don't know what's good for them and what is not. We're born totally self-centered. That's the absolute truth. Would you agree with that? So children have a great need to learn some basic social graces, from not burping in public to not talking when other adults are talking, just basic things like that. You know, if you come into a place, and I don't care how much you might want something, if it's not yours, you don't be disrespectful and you don't take it. I remember there was four of us kids and mom and dad, and we'd go over to grandma and granddaddy's sometimes at night, and they taught us early on, you know, just grandma and granddaddy, you know, didn't have a lot, and they mama said, I don't care what they're eating, you better not even act like you want any of it, much less sit down there and eat some of it. Why? Because she knew the system. She knew that they didn't have a lot, and four of us could walk in there and what? My goodness, they wouldn't have anything the rest of the week. So she taught us, I mean, early on. Man, sometimes she had some stuff that looked really, really good. And they'd always say, y'all want some? I said, no, ma'am, we don't want any. You said, well, you lying? No, we're just being respectful. Why? Because mom and them told us not to do that. Because they knew the system. We didn't know it. But some of our cousins that came in, guess what? Dude, they attacked that food. Like they never had any. And we just kind of looked back and said, what is that? What are they going to do to them? They didn't do anything to them. What? Because they wouldn't teach them. You understand what I mean? Respect for somebody else's stuff. And when your mom and daddy tells you something, when they tell you to play in the road, you can't really explain to a three-year-old why he can't play in the highway. You just have to make sure he understands you are not going to play in the highway. John was telling me after the first service that he had taught Whit that he couldn't play out there in the road. And unfortunately, there was a situation where one of the patients or people that's going to school with John over there, the guy left his house and backed over his two-year-old that ran out behind the car and killed it. Little girl. So John used that and said, he told Whit, how was Whit, three? Told him that situation and said, this is why I want you to always be real careful, because you can get killed. He tells Grant, you can't play out there because that little girl got killed. You said, that's horrible. No, it's not. It's teaching to respect and listen to his mom and daddy. You know, when you holler and say stop, sometimes you don't have time to explain why they need to stop. They just need to know they need to stop, right? And unless they respect you and see you as an authoritative person, they're not going to. And what's going to happen to them? Could be killed. We cannot isolate them completely from evil. Absolutely not. Nor can we keep their hearts free from all that stuff that's floating around. But we can teach them discernment, how to figure it out. They carry that thing in there around with them just like we do. So we've got to teach them how to look at a situation and say, you know, this looks good, but this is not good. We can't do that. We must train them to be wise and discerning, because that stuff's going to be there. I'll quickly go through this. They just need to be taught some social skills. They used to teach us that in school. Do they still do that? Any social skills? No. They used to punish us for talking at the wrong time. Did they do that? And it wasn't right 500 times, I will not talk in class. It was more severe. It was paddling is what that was. No. Hello? No social skills teaching now? They don't? No. Well, no wonder. A lot of them ain't getting anything at home, and they're not getting it there either, so no wonder there. Everybody goes around burping in public or talking too loud. That's just disgusting. You say, man, you're old school. Yes, I am, if that's what that is. Sorry. They must be taught to obey their parents. Whoa. This is tough. It's tougher for mom and dad if you committed to it than it is the children. One day, if they have any sense at all, the children will appreciate it. They won't right now for the first 25 years probably. Must teach their children to obedience. Why? It is the most basic and obvious responsibility of parenthood. Here's why. Simple. If I don't respect mom and dad, I won't respect anybody else. If I don't treat mom and dad, and you say, well, you don't know my mom and dad, it didn't qualify it. It just said, it didn't say, you only honor your mom and dad if they're perfect parents. Now, does that mean, honor doesn't mean that you do everything they say, especially if you're trying to do right and they come up with something that crosses God's guidelines and tell you to steal something. Absolutely. It's not even a given. You know that. But you can still not do what they say and respect them. You know? You honor them and obey them. And if you don't learn that, then you're not going to respect anybody else. God, your parents, if you don't do those two, then police, teachers, everybody else. Well, I don't have to respect them. We have to teach them that. They don't get that on their own. Would you agree with that? If we're going to raise a generation of faithful children to the righteous lives, they've got to learn first that. You know, even Jesus in Hebrews, it says what? He learned obedience. He said, God, this is what you want me to do. Father, he says, Father, is there any way I can get out of this? I don't really want to do this, but I want to be obedient, and I want to do what you want me to do. He learned obedience. He was God in the physical nature, but he learned it. That's something you have to learn. You know, you have to learn. You have to do the right thing, and you have to make yourself do the right thing. Isn't that right? How many of you just love to get up at 2 o'clock on Monday morning and go to work? Anybody? No? Most of us don't. If that's your schedule or whatever your schedule is, what? You just have to learn, if you want the benefit of even getting a check, you have to take that step. Same thing. No different whatsoever. When children are taught early in life to respect or obey parents, those in authority, everybody is blessed by it. Teachers, how many teachers in here? We got quite a few in our congregation. What it would be like for you to go to school when the school starts back in, what, August? And you get in front of the class and you tell everybody, do this, and they do it and don't complain and don't throw anything and don't curse you out, and they just do it. How would that change the system? You could teach them. Instead of spending half your life sending them to detention or whatever you have to put up with, because what happens is the bad kids distract all the other good kids, so they waste a lot of time. You see what that would be? If they would respect that, everything would change. Same thing with the community, same thing with police, same thing with everything. They're just like us because we all have that in us. And unless they learn basic about God and parents, it affects everything else. Wow. Look at this one. This is a pretty stunning verse. The person that mocks, makes fun of their dad, or makes fun the obedience of, you know, you don't obey your mom and dad, and you make fun of your dad, and you don't do what your mom and dad says, the ravens of the valley peck out their eyes. Ooh, read the whole context in there. What does that mean? When you do right, God blesses you, and when you don't, ooh, there's consequences on the other side. Think about that. The ravens of the valley will peck it out, and the offspring of the vultures will eat it. It's a curse. That's all that means. You do what God said and God blesses it. You don't do it and it's a curse. You honor your mom and dad. And even if you're sitting here and you're not a believer, but you obey your mom and dad in absolutely insensible situations, and God will automatically bless your life, even though you might sit here and be an atheist. That's right. That's what it says. So parents, if we really love our children and we want God's best for them, how important is their obedience? It makes all the difference in the world. If we say we love them and we want the best for them and we're not willing to pay this price, James Dobson told a story about how difficult that is and what you have to do to teach children. You know, everybody's different. He had a little boy, a 10-year-old Robert, and he was just hell in a boy form. You know, it was just horrible. Manipulated everybody. Nobody could do anything. Just tore up the place wherever he went. And he had to go to the dentist, so he'd recommend him to one of his friends, William Stonecker, the dentist, and he said probably he won't ever be my friend again. But he recommends him, so they set an appointment, and Robert's mom takes him into the dentist's office, and sure enough, he gets in there, and the dentist, Stonecker, takes him to, says, get up in the chair, and we're going to start. And he said, I'm not. He said, you're going to. He says, well, if you make me get up in that chair, I'm going to take off my clothes. He said, okay. So he told him, and he took off part of his clothes, and before it was over, he was stark naked sitting up there in the dentist chair. So the little boy said, well, if you do this, I'm going to get, he said, I don't care. So here he is, does the procedure on him, and it's over, and he's about to leave, and the little boy said, well, I want my clothes back. He said, you can get them tomorrow. Mama can bring you back tomorrow and get them. Made him walk out of the dentist's office in front of everybody buck naked. He said, well, this will be a lawsuit. His mom came back a few days later to get his clothes, and she asked to talk to the dentist, and he said, you know, she came in, and she said, I just want to thank you. He's been blackmailing me with that in public all these years. When you called his bluff, he said he's a different child. Why? The child is not in control. You are. And not, what's the family services? Yeah, they're not either. Because it's just a liberal thing, just like everything else when the government gets into it. I hate to say that. That's just the way it goes. And they don't always have the best in mind. It's according to who the person is in charge trying to help them. I better should say it that way, right? You know, well, I can't do a thing with him. Wait a minute. He weighs 35 pounds and you weigh 250 and you can't do anything with him? Just get you some duct tape. Start taping him up. Tape his hands or his feet or his mouth, whatever. You are in control of that thing, right? That's what that means. We have to teach them obedience if we really, really love them. It depends on how much we love them as to what their future will be, depending on how much we're willing to put in it. You say, man, that costs a lot. Yes, it does. Because they'll call your hand on it. And sometimes it doesn't matter. You got tickets and everybody's going to Wild Adventures or Six Flags or over to Grandmama's for Thanksgiving, and he's acting crazy. And you said, if you keep on, we're not going anywhere. So he knows nobody wants to pay that price. He knows mom and daddy's going to go to grandmama's. He knows we're not going to forfeit the tickets we already bought. So they just act out and get their way. You don't have to. Here's how you do that. Done it before. If you do this, we already bought tickets. If you do this, not only are we not going, but you will work and pay for the tickets that we didn't get to use. Do that one time. Guess what happens the next time? You don't have to worry about it. Well, I don't know how stubborn your child is. It may take two times. Now, does that cost everybody? Does it cost you to do that? Yes, it does. But who's in control? They're not. They don't have enough sense to be in control yet. Even if we do the best with everything for 20 years, sometimes they don't have enough sense even then. But they surely don't have a chance if we don't take the time to try to train them and learn, teach them these things. Do we really love our kids? You say, well, man, I'm too old. Mine's already gone. You just might need to back up and say, go to them and say, man, I made this mistake, and I'm sorry, and I apologize. Don't do this. I made it. Don't make this mistake. Not only for your sake, but for your children's sake, and your grandchildren's sake, and the community's sake, for everybody's sake. Parents, if we love our kids and want God's blessings, there's some things we must do. We have to teach them these things. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you that you love us. Wow, that you have a plan that we can not only be right with you, but we could be right with each other. We could get along with each other. our children could grow up to be people that the society would not be mind being around. Lord, just help us evaluate and see the cost and make sure that we're willing to pay it and not just voice it with our mouths, but be willing to back it up with our actions, not only for your glory, but for our children's welfare. Thank you for your mercy and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.